I'm not full of excuses, only explanations.
Okay.
Is that lame?
No, it's
should be.
It's not.
I don't think I'm perfect. You do.
If I'm a garbage whore, then you're the landfill.
Oh. That was good.
Thank you.
Unexpected. What a surprise. Please.
Why? Because mine are always bad?
That one was just super clever.
Oh, thank you. Well, the clever one is Tyler.
Oh. And I'm garbage whore.
This is Privileged Wings.
It's a podcast. Sometimes.
Where we recap
The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
And this week is the reunion part two.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Winter Olympics.
Oh, gosh. I feel like this one was, like, a lot happened, but not, we didn't get anywhere on anything.
Yeah, there wasn't a resolution. And they stayed on a couple topics for most of the episode, so. But I actually liked it. This was, like, the state of the union for Lisa. The state of the housewife, if you will.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to watch because I want to root for Lisa. And this... And the last episode and probably the next episode are just fully, like, tanking her, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think won this episode? Or, like, who do you think's winning the reunion so far?
Meredith.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say Heather maybe, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess the biggest topics have been revolving around Meredith and Lisa and Mary, even though Mary's not there. So, but no, Heather's always... Well, I say always. She's only done two. I think she does well at the reunions. So does Whitney.
But I feel like Whitney's kind of falling into the background on these ones.
Yeah. Which is probably good, which she wants to do, because, you know, she's kind of owning up to the pot stirring that she did. She's staying out of it, because...
Yeah. I just think sometimes maybe her... What her thoughts aren't as quick... She can't get them out as quickly mm-hmm. as some of the other ones. So then she kind of just... gets lost a little bit in the background.
Right. You're overestimating her thought process. That's what you're saying. You think she's further ahead?
I think the wheels are turning, but by the time she gets them out of her mouth, that it's either, like, already passed or someone else is already speaking, and then unless, like, Heather's, like, let Whitney speak, or then, like, she doesn't really get that much out. In these two.
Yeah.
Or maybe she had, like, really bad response to the last one, and she just wanted to stay a little more neutral. I don't know.
Yeah, and I also think it's probably a byproduct of her, like, relationship with the other cast members. Well, maybe not all of them, but some of them, where they're just used to dismissing her. Because either she gets under the nerves, or she comes across a certain way, and they're just like, meh.
Maybe.
You know, when really they shouldn't.
I don't know. How do you think Andy's doing?
I always love Andy at reunions.
He's doing a lot of raise your hands.
Yeah. He only asked the one question that I was like, okay, that was... Well, it hasn't even happened yet.
It's on the next episode.
Week. Yeah, when he asks all of them if he thinks Jen's actually... Or could be guilty or is guilty. I mean, that's...
Shady boots.
It's beyond shady boots. Those are fight... Like, I mean, maybe it's a question... I mean, do you want to know the answer? Probably.
It's like the ultimate yes. Who should go home tonight, but it's about prison.
Yeah. And it's also, but those are like relationship ending questions. Like yeah. If you are innocent, if you truly are innocent, or you didn't do anything purposefully wrong, and your friends think so little of you as to just assume that you did them wrong, or like they believe that you would do something illegal like that, or something as heinous.
I feel like they're all going to say no.
Right.
But they did show Jen crying. But that could have been from something else. She also looks like she blows up on Lisa, which could make her cry too.
Oh, yeah, true. Anyways, we'll see how it goes.
Anyways, let's get into this episode, not next week. All right, we start right back up with Jen and Lisa having just said that she loves Jen, as controversial as that may be. But then she immediately backtracks and says she's sorry for how it landed. And then Meredith again is like, at Mary's luncheon, did I have your back, Lisa?
Mm-hmm.
And then later in the episode, they felt the need to replay them as if we didn't remember two instances.
Yeah, I was going to say. He talked about it like she was building a case, which, I mean, she was. But like you said, it was like twice. I don't think we, you know.
We didn't need the flashback to 33 minutes before.
Yeah, absolutely not. You know, and they pointed it out multiple times. I was like, okay, we got it.
Then Andy like asks Jenny why she didn't stand up for Lisa in the van when they were just like by herself and Heather and Whitney, and she just dismisses it basically.
No, she does not answer it. She answers made up questions. She either pretends that she didn't understand the question or she just answered a different question. And then acted like she was done. And they're like, okay, moving on.
She's like, I did defend her. And he's like, no, you didn't. And then she's like, I defend her.
Yeah.
Point done.
That's it.
Then I feel
like... Wait.
Oh, what?
But would you do that? I mean, do you think she was right or wrong for that? Because part of it's like, okay, this is my friend, but this is a unique, like, group of people.
She doesn't know them. And she also... Because it was, like, toward the beginning of the season still, I feel like. And she didn't, it's not like she joined in and started talking shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the question isn't why did you betray me and join in on it? It was why didn't you defend her?
Because Lisa did those things and Jenny probably knew it. So there's not anything really to defend.
Yeah. But assuming she doesn't know, let's just say hypothetically, Jenny doesn't know anything. And these are... That's your good friend, and you're on the bus, and these other people who are part of this friend group that you're, or this cast that you're in now, are talking mad shit about her that maybe you don't agree with. Are you going to sit back and watch it, or are you going to say something?
I would probably say something, but also, if I felt like they were true, then I'd probably join in.
Oh. Honest. Okay.
I just know myself. Like, if people are talking shit and I agree with it, I'm going to also talk shit.
Okay. Yeah. So, I think you're right, sorry, in that she didn't defend her because she was like, uh-huh.
Right.
Or knows enough about her to suspect maybe that was the case. That's how it comes across.
Yeah. I mean, also, they're friends, but it feels like they're probably just more acquaintances. But I think when you get on a show like this, you have to pick your sides.
Yes. And also, Lisa has a strange concept of friendship because she says all these flowery things about her friends, and she does not act like her Meredith. Like, I've said this before, and I will say it again. They do not come across as good friends. They did not season one. Yeah. They certainly did not season two.
And her and Angie.
You know.
Same kind of vibes.
She just doesn't, I mean, like, when she says my good friend for so long, I don't know if that means anything to me. Like, how do you actually act with your good friends? Or do you have any good friends, actually? I don't know.
Damn.
But I feel like Jenny's in the same boat as Meredith. I don't think they're actually buddies.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too. But she was, I feel like, defending Lisa blindly this whole reunion, though. Jenny. Yeah. She's either not saying anything or she's saying something like for Lisa's side.
Gotcha.
Don't you think?
I couldn't tell you, honestly, because she hasn't said much.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, then we like learn... It seems like Andy's trying to throw out a bunch of questions that he thinks might lead to drama and like nothing's hitting. Because then he asks about... when Lisa went to Mary's room in Vail and, like, told her everything that... Like, blamed it all on Whitney, even though she was the one talking about it all night, and that doesn't lead anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then he starts, like, asking Lisa why she said that Meredith was at her mom's reunion... Or, what am I saying? Her dad's memorial. Mom's reunion, same thing. And she says, Lisa said that on the phone, Meredith said, I'm at the, God.
Memorial. Lord.
Finale. And, yeah, that kind of doesn't go too much where I thought it would go.
Well, it definitely escalated, and it ended in a stalemate. Not a stalemate, it just ended with them saying, like, basically one of them is lying.
Right.
Lisa's adamant that Meredith said it. Meredith said, absolutely not. I was in a bathtub in Vail.
It would be weird for Meredith to say it when they're, like, all on their way to see her. Like, yeah. Why is it something she would lie about?
But also, the phone, I mean, when they played that clip, you can hear Meredith.
Right. Right? Right. So they, you would think that if...
So if they had the audio...
Well, she put it on speaker, and she said she heard...
Oh, okay.
She said that on... Not on speaker, and then gotcha. She put it on speaker.
Gotcha.
So then they break for lunch, which was weird because it was, like, right at the beginning of the episode. I know the time is not... It's not all edited the same, but it just seemed mm-hmm. weird to... We get, like, nothing, and then they go to lunch.
Yeah.
And then this is when Lisa said the whole, like, you guys know what you were doing when you put that rant in there, give everybody an excuse to hate me. And then...
You peeled back the curtain and saw who I really was, and now it's hard for me to maintain the facade of who I'm trying to appear to be on TV, mad.
Yeah. It is interesting to me, I think, what you were saying last week, if the reunion would have happened... After it aired and everybody on Twitter was, like, praising her for that moment, basically.
Yeah.
Do you think that she would have gotten into this whole thing with a different mindset of, like, owning it?
Yes. I think she would have been more confident and... Because I feel like she thinks this makes her very vulnerable.
Yeah.
So she's super defensive. And I'm not saying what she said was... Especially if it's all of it's false. You know, like, that's heinous and rude and a bad friend, right?
Yeah.
All things aside. But the good thing about it was, like, this is the first time. It sounds like what you're saying is what you actually mean, and it felt real.
Yeah.
Even if you don't think she's a whore, your emotion resonated. Whereas most of the time, are you happy? Are you sad? We don't know. Whereas you are angry, and you let it out.
Most of the time, she's screaming how she wants you to think she's feeling.
Exactly. So this is the first time that we could clearly see, like, where your emotions and your actions and your words all lined up.
Yeah.
And that was refreshing.
And I feel like Heather was trying to say that last time, when she was like, it was actually genuine, so just own it.
Exactly. So it would have been fine if she would have said, none of it's true, I was angry, and it just came out. Yeah. Like... There you go. I mean, maybe your friendship doesn't recover, but, like, as a viewer, I'm like, I can respect that.
Yeah.
You know? And then just do that all the time. Just be real. But instead, she's not doing that. She's not doing that. She is playing checkers. hopping around the board trying to cover the angles.
She's hopping around saying anything that she, like, I don't know. She came off as very unhinged this episode, I feel like.
Yeah, it's hard. Well, because she's trying to hold up the curtain on all sides. Yeah. It's like, you can't, like, just... No, but, I mean, and she's like, people are trying to break her. It's like, I'm not trying to break you. I'm trying to break the shell that you built around yourself. Because it's... Nobody wants that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so then they all come back in. Well, Meredith tells Seth on the phone that she already cried when he was like, oh, no. Mm-hmm. And then they all come back in, and Andy says, oh, get Cher back to her seat.
Diva.
And then he says, who here has received mean texts from Mary? And they all raise their hand except Jenny. And then this is what I'm talking about. I think that his questions just aren't going anywhere. Because mm-hmm. he basically was like, to Meredith, what did she say? And then she was just like, oh, it was like after the glass ring thing. But he didn't. She didn't say, reveal anything.
Yeah. I don't think she's going to actually say, because they are
yeah,
still friends, I guess, what she actually said. But I forgot about the one Whitney read, and that was like, I forgot how, it that was mean, yeah. Very mean.
And it went on for like a long time. I can see Mary, it's almost like whatever Mary says in her confessionals, she texts them.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't say those things necessarily to their faces all the time, but when she's in a fit of rage or in a confessional, she just, like, blurts out things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and since she's a facsimile of God, that's fine.
Yeah, just loving thy neighbor or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Not judging, being supportive, none of that applies.
So, then, this is when Andy, like, turns to Jenny and said, why, like, are you the only one that's not afraid of Mary? And she said she's not afraid of anybody. And then Heather said she thinks that Mary's not there because of Jenny, basically. Because she actually, like, stood up to her in her face and mm-hmm. kind of yells at her. Where all the other ones kind of just say, bad Mary.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Don't you think so?
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I think that's probably part of it. But I think ultimately it was more... Like, the only thing that was going to happen this reunion to Mary was the
beatdown.
Yeah, it was going to be a long conversation about multiple topics. They were going to talk about her church, her
and the only person relationship, on her side is Meredith.
Her relationship to her husband,
yeah.
which is strange. And
fair.
All the accusations. None of the, and then also all the comments that she made. The Mexican comment, the slanted eye comment.
Yeah.
The impersonation. I mean, there just wasn't, I don't know if there was really much good that was going to get discussed from
yeah.
it. Except, you know, she's good TV in the sense of, like, some of her one-liners and confessionals are funny.
I also think, especially in the age of, I don't want to say cancel culture, but cancel culture, I feel like it'd be difficult to come on there and, like, what are you going to say? You said those things,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to come on there, and you're either going to deny that they were bad, which would be worse, or you're going to have to own up to them, which I don't think she would want to do. Clearly,
I think
she already told Andy on the phone.
Yeah.
She doesn't think she can be racist, so...
I don't think she wanted to...
It wouldn't... Nothing that happened this season to discuss in a reunion would have been good for her.
Right.
I don't think.
Right.
So she just
avoided it. Right. I mean, they were saying that they were glad she was, or that they were sad she wasn't there to, you know, talk about things, which maybe they're saying they're sad that she's not there to, like, own up and suffer for all the
right.
stuff she did. Maybe that was their real meaning, but I'm kind of glad she's not there. I don't think it was, like, going to be anything good, you know, and...
Yeah, but...
And she left. I mean, I was ready for her to go. Like, I mean, she... Like, it's... At this point, I don't know if I would support, a spinoff of her just by herself. But prior to some of these things, I would have been like, you know, she would have made a good TV show just herself.
Yeah.
But now, I don't think... I mean, I just wouldn't support it, I don't think. But,
I would have wanted, but, like, not. During the cult situation... Like this next question, Andy says... Like, you three of you have been to her church. Do you guys think it's a cult? That is something I would have liked to see Mary's reaction to.
Yeah.
Just, also, Meredith says no. And I just don't know how you can watch that episode and think no.
Because she framed it from when, because he asked him when you went. Like, you've all been there.
Yeah.
She's like, I think she said when I was there, there was nothing... That came over. I think she was thinking about the times that she was present.
But Whitney was like, when I was there, it didn't seem like that. But then I'm starting to think it now after seeing Jen's time there.
I'm just saying she was toeing the line.
Yeah.
She found a way to
say it without saying. Satan.
To get out of the question.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Jen says that she thinks every church is a cult to an extent.
I mean, some are just bigger than others.
But then she said that it was like a Mother's Day tribute, which I don't think they got. They said that in the show that it was a Mother's Day tribute only.
Does that
to
make
Mary.
It any less weird?
It makes it more weird. Is
yeah,
what I'm saying.
You're right.
And then Whitney said that she thought she does think like that. Jen or that Mary puts the fear of God. Like, she thinks she can hold that against you, basically.
Right. If she's the leader of the church and she has some kind of special connection to God,
yeah,
then she can use that connection against you if you make her mad.
Yeah.
Or go against whatever. That is not new in the religious playbook of history, so, but...
Yeah, but I think... This day and age, I don't know that many pastors or whatever she is
mm-hmm.
as does that to people.
Right. I'm just saying it's not a new concept, but...
No.
I guess maybe in the
but
sense of a...
Every, pastor I've ever
TV
known
show?
Or priest, it's very much like they want to show the love of God, not hold him over your head.
All right. Well, you haven't met many Baptists.
But. That's true. I've only been in
more of the fear. It's more of the fear of God, but not from them, just in general. Hellfire and damnation.
So then Jenny said, like, why are we so obsessed with Mary and her church? Why do we have to talk about that so much? And then Heather immediately says, because Lisa brought Cameron on the show.
Ooh, TTT. I'm so glad she said that.
Yeah.
Okay, Lisa, I'm kind of mad because I'm like, I think it was reasonable to be like, is Lisa, like, doing a redemption arc on this show? Because it started off very, like...
You mean the season or on the reunion?
On the show. Because remember, at the beginning, it was very, like, Miss Little String Puller Puppet Master over here that's, like, too obvious.
Yeah.
And then maybe she backed off. I don't know why, but, like, over the following episodes, it started to feel like she was having a redemption moment in our eyes.
Yeah, 100%.
But now with the reunion, I'm like, it's, now I just feel, I'm like, no, she's still the same. And she was, and I was starting to question whether or not she knew what she was doing. And I don't know why I did that, because it's very clear that she knew exactly what she was doing. You don't, you had us, you, through production, got to a restaurant, sat down with this person on camera. You do not do that for no reason.
Yeah.
There was a reason. What was that reason?
I mean,
and the reason
that
was, and the only connection that this man has to their group is the fact that he knows shit about Mary. Therefore, you were starting shit about Mary.
Yeah.
You cannot skirt that.
Right. I don't think you can, I don't think she can deny that. It's just,
but she did.
That's what I was going to say. That's what comes off as, that's what's making you not like her
now
again.
She's saying.
Is because she's saying.
You're stupid.
She's still saying she didn't do anything, and it's so obvious that she did something.
Yes, and so she's looking at all the viewers and being like, y'all are dumb.
If she turned to Heather in this moment and said, yeah, I brought Cameron in because I want to fucking talk shit about Mary, then they would love her.
Yeah, we would respect the shit out of that. Because somebody was like, I mean, I wasn't against the fact that they were trying to do it.
But part of me, like, even though she's coming off as unhinged and whatever, like you said, like, the shell is just breaking all around her, I feel like I still like her more. Like, after having the whole season, like, watching this episode just makes me feel like, I don't know. She's just so in denial, but yet so standing up for herself that I think...
The defense is respectable.
Yeah.
You know, she's not... She doesn't take shit from people.
And she's just... For some reason, the delivery of it all is just funny.
Mm, okay.
Like, when she's like, No. And then immediately turned to Andy and, like, crying about Cameron and then going back to... I was like, this is... She's just...
Gonna get emotional.
Doing... It's like she... It's like that thing when you're late and then you get to dinner and then you accidentally, like, eat your whole food really fast. That's what she's doing this whole episode. But about, like, who knows what, I feel like.
Yeah.
Someone says something and she's like, no, I am sorry. No, I actually am doing this and I didn't do that on purpose. And, yeah, I'm sorry, Meredith, I love you.
Yeah. It was very that. You're right. Yeah.
Okay, so she does say that she's devastated that he's no longer here. Because we did find out that Cameron died. And then Andy's kind of like asking about why Cameron was at the party. And they started saying something about him being on the board. And they were all like, he wasn't on the board.
Dude, that was the whole line of why he... Because remember we said originally that she brought him so that he could be the vehicle of information on Lisa's behalf.
Yeah.
But then her defense was, because they created it, was that he was on the board of the charity that was...
The Fresh Wolf event.
Going to be the beneficiary of Fresh Wolf cells or whatever. Fresh Wolf. and that's why he was there. And it sounded, she made it sound like they were able to invite people as well to the event. And so he was on their guest list. I'm sure she had something to do with that.
Yeah.
You know, but... Turns
Even
out,
if he was just there, she literally made him go talk to Meredith.
Exactly. And it turns out that was a lie, because it sounds like he was trying to be on the board. He was in the process of becoming on the board, but he wasn't at the time. So, just, you know, why not just say he's affiliated with the...
Yeah.
Why did you have to say... Anyways. And then, like you said, it doesn't matter if he's there or not, if you introduced them so clearly. Yeah. And said, this is Mary's good friend.
Yeah.
I.e., I'm bringing up Mary.
So oh, I have to go do this photo shoot.
Yeah. Oh, she knows a lot about Mary. You guys can talk about that. Goodbye. Like, come on.
Yeah. So then Meredith kind of says that Lisa off camera said that the $300,000 wasn't actually, that he didn't actually do that, give that to Mary.
Right.
And that it was like way less, 10% of that, which is $30,000, which is still a lot of money. That is, but a lot of money. If he's really rich and they were having an affair, that's not an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
I mean, she was saying that he has like a really, had a really nice house at the time. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, it would still be manipulative as a, well, I guess if it was just a pastor relationship, like a leader of a church, and you got somebody to do that, but if it was more and you were like, even if secretly partners, then maybe, does that make it less bad? Less manipulative?
It's more just like, I'm thinking about if you needed $30,000 or something, like we would make it work. So if that means mortgaging the house, like if it depends, you don't know how serious they were. You know what I mean?
Right. But she was married.
I know.
Another man.
Or but we can tell there's no love there. So who knows if they were even in the same house.
True.
At the same time. I don't know. I'm just saying $300,000 is very different than $30,000 in that if you need to make something work, $300,000 sounds like an insane number. $30,000 sounds like we can figure something out.
Yeah. And it also makes sense in the, I guess to me, the whole lover thing, if that was the case, makes it not as bad, like you said. So I guess ultimately is my feeling on it, because then it's like your partner's trying to help you. But then after it's over, then you're like, wow, that was really a fucked up thing to do.
Yeah. And I mean, it is like if she's in a place of power in a church that is, if she is or was at the time considered like almost like a cult leader, then that is taking advantage of someone.
Yeah. Especially even if they were in a relationship. If
they're your follower.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Because even if they're in a relationship, you know, if she's using her influence with God to pressure him into giving her money, then that's still the same.
Or giving her bad. A relationship with him.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh. 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 The twists and the turns. The mystery. Yeah, who knows?
Okay, then, like, a bunch of stuff happens. Andy asks Lisa why she was mad at Whitney for calling Cameron, and then she brought out all these texts, but I didn't understand. Andy, like, read them out loud, and I didn't understand why she had them even, like, what they even meant.
Well, I think the point of it was that Whitney reached out to Cameron, and then Cameron reached out to Lisa saying that it had happened and that he didn't tell her anything. Because he didn't know him or trust her. And Lisa was saying she didn't think it was appropriate for Whitney to do that because she didn't know him. It's Lisa's friend. Why are you prying into his business? But I agree with Whitney. You brought somebody on the show to give up information about somebody else.
Yeah.
And then you don't want to answer questions. And plus, she doesn't think you're trustworthy anyways. So go to, I mean, it's research. She's not asking him for his social security, you know, or his, how your mama, she said, you said this. Did you say this? I don't think that's weird.
No, I don't think so either.
So.
We also find out that apparently there's like a support group for ex-members of Mary's church.
Yeah, that says a lot.
Yeah. That says that there's a lot of people, too, that felt manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
But
you gotta have a support group.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's, like, 10 people, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
That feel emotionally damaged.
I mean, I really... Do you feel like that just says all that you need to hear about it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The people that were on the inside got out, and now they are emotionally damaged, messed up. Like, that says something. Yeah. That says all you need to know, yeah. Okay, so then they go and they do like a look back at all the Real House Kids, and we get our final probably vision of Carlin,
the real tragedy.
I know, she was so cute. I also like forgot she said that. We didn't talk about that at all.
Oh, the Asian Bayesian thing. Yeah,
Bayesian.
Bayesian.
And then Andy asks, how's Brooke's fashion line? And Meredith says he's about to graduate from NYU, and he's running a business, so he's very busy, and I'm very proud of him.
It's very intense.
But you have a merch website. I'm sorry. And that's, I mean, it is technically a business, and he's making money from it. I mean, all of his stuff's always sold out, so good on him. But I don't think having hoodies with your name printed on them is necessarily running a business or taking up much of your time.
Mm-hmm. It's just a label.
Yeah.
That, I said, yeah, less design, more label.
Yeah.
So, I guess, no, that's right. Merch is the best way to put it. Yeah.
It's literally merch. It's, yeah. It's a hoodie with his name on it.
Right. Okay. Agreed.
Okay. So then Jen basically says that, like, her kid didn't want her to decorate his locker to the point where he doesn't even have a locker.
That's so sad.
I know. I didn't know. I thought she was kidding.
Because she tried to do it.
Guess she meant she really wasn't.
So he was
kidding.
Right. Yeah. He said, you ain't gonna play me.
So then, I don't know. Sometimes I hate when Andy asks these questions because it's like, some viewers thought that Heather was living vicariously through Ashley. And I'm like, okay, so you're just reading shit tweets, basically.
I mean, that's a lot of what they do.
I know, but they aren't, I mean, like, they official have, questions.
He always puts out a post,
well, I know,
for the reunion asking people to, and then I'm sure an intern, you know, goes through, well, maybe they have social, whatever, goes through and reads all of them and probably says these are the questions that came up the most.
Yeah, but this, I mean, this one wasn't a question from, yeah, I guess you're right.
Comments. People were commenting on this a lot.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm sure there were a lot of moms out there that were uncomfortable by that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say.
Because they wouldn't say, don't, because some people are going to have the viewpoint of don't encourage, like, there's enough temptation in college anyways, don't, especially with girls, don't encourage them to be wild. Those can be dangerous situations. But I don't think she was.
She literally was saying be careful with it.
But exactly. But, I mean, some moms are going to view that. And also some, I don't know, if you, there's a lot of people, especially in, I'm sure Mormon and, but Christianly in general, that are, they shelter their kids hardcore.
Yeah.
You know? And I was very sheltered for most of my childhood. So, like, you can't, you know, you're not prepared for things. And also, and I think in a large part, maybe, like, maybe you don't need to encourage your kid in the same, maybe, I don't know. I don't remember exactly what she said. Maybe you don't have to be like, yes, go do it. Be wild. Just be like, listen, this is the time to be wild if that's what you want to do.
Yeah. But also, this part is kind of made me relate to my mom a little bit.
Uh-huh.
In that her philosophy was like, if we went to a party and at the party my parents were going to be there, then she would let us have some booze, like when we were 18.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to, like, say, oh, I know you're going to college and you will definitely underage drink
right
in college. So she would, she was like, I'd rather you
learn
first couple times being drunk, be like in a safe environment where I'm here protected. I don't think Heather can say those things if she's doing those on the show, because right. Her daughter's underage.
Oh, right, for sure.
So, I feel like there's probably more to the story. It's just what we get is these little snippets of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's, I mean, and I agree with this. I feel like, I don't understand the parental viewpoint a lot of the times of, like, especially sheltering to that extent. Not that Heather is, but just in general with parents. Your job is to make sure your child is, like, prepared to be an adult once they're out of your house. And yeah. So, like you said, it's not just for drinking, but, like, all things, like, financially, like, there's so many things that parents should be, like, don't shield your kids from reality. Like, this is what you're gonna have to deal with. Please learn how to do it while I can help you. And then when you go out, you can, like, survive.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, so then Jen turns to Lisa and says that she doesn't think Meredith has been a great friend to Lisa. And Jen basically says that she thinks that Lisa's just hurt because Meredith was such good friends with Mary the whole time. And Lisa said, I was not hurt.
I don't feel pain.
And then Heather said, clearly you were because you called everyone a garbage whore behind. Like, yeah. Heather keeps bringing it up over and over again.
Heather's just not letting Lisa get away with
yeah
pretending.
Yeah.
So she's over it.
And Lisa said, don't put words in my mouth. And she said, there were subtitles.
Yes, nobody put those words, bitch. You did it.
Yeah. And then Meredith, they show the recap here of all the, quote, evidence that she has of how much she's backed Lisa up the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Two times.
Twice. Exhibit two. Or right. B.
A and B.
And then she basically blames Lisa at that dinner for starting the fight with Mary, calling Mary fake.
Right.
Which I don't really...
I don't think that's accurate.
No, Mary was literally provoking everybody at the table before Lisa called her fake.
Yeah. But I understand what she was saying and that she didn't want to... Like, she was just not going to... Like, two people that she's allegedly friends with are fighting. She's just not going to get involved.
Yeah. So then Meredith says she basically can't believe that that dinner is what could cause you to go into that crazy tirade. And then she starts, Meredith starts crying, but she like, it looked fake to me.
That's the Botox.
You think?
Yeah.
I guess I haven't paid that much attention to Botox people crying.
Lisa. When she's like, I'm getting emotional.
Okay, but I think Lisa's really are fake.
Okay, I don't think she was actually crying, but it looked really almost comical because, like, not much was really moving.
I guess they
which is okay. That's
Botox.
Not a read against.
Sometimes I just forget that they are.
It's just hard to tell people's emotions sometimes because they're locked.
When I watch Housewives, I like fully. Between Housewives and Drag Race, I fully forget that these people even have work done.
Super desensitized.
Yeah.
Like lip filler and cheek filler and all the fillers and all the Botox. Yeah. Just normal.
But the reason she started crying is because basically she thought that Lisa handled her dad's passing like not how a friend would have.
Bitch, the way she said it was true, she didn't.
Right. She said that 3 days before he died, she basically was on the phone saying he's going to die soon. And then 2 days after he died, she still hadn't said anything. And so then she called Lisa, and then Lisa just started talking shit about Jen for some reason.
No, that's not. So what she said was that she told her 3 days, like you said, 3 days before that he was dying.
Yeah.
She said that Lisa did not check up on her. 2 days after he had passed, she called Lisa to let her know that he had passed.
Yeah.
And then she invited her for Shabbat dinner, right? This isn't long after. And the only thing in this time when she's vulnerable and Lisa hasn't been there for the way she says, the only thing she's talking about is trying to make Meredith be friends with Jen. Which is a sensitive topic anyways, on top of the fact that she's suffering the loss of her father and the fact that her friend wasn't supportive through that process.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So, and Lisa insists that she was there for her and called her. But this is another, like, one of them is lying. Because, just like before, with the memorial statement, like, it's either you're right or she's right. You can't say that I called you, I checked in on you, I was there for you, and then she's saying, I felt alone.
You weren't
there for me.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, the way that Lisa's saying it all it sounds like she's lying.
Right. Well, and that's the thing.
And that's
she might actually not, like, one of these things, she might be telling the truth, but it's hard to believe her because everything is so controlled.
Right. Or just say, Meredith, you and I weren't that close of friends, so all we talk about is the stuff on the show.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I want to hear. That's what it feels like.
Or she could say, I'm really mad at you since we started this show, and I couldn't be there for you. Or I chose not to be there for you because I'm mad at you. Or something.
But that wouldn't come off as good, though.
Well, whatever.
So then Heather says that the day after her dad died, Lisa was like, how's your dad?
Right.
Which,
I will say, that's, I mean, you don't know people's business all the time.
Right.
I mean, I suppose it depends on how things are, how information is disseminated. Like, if she posted online that her dad had passed and everybody was talking about it prior to that, then maybe that's a little weird that she doesn't know.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the following... I mean, I don't think it's weird that a day after, and if she didn't know, then she checked up on it. But I think Heather was just saying she understands how it makes you feel, because it's like you clearly weren't staying on top of it.
Yeah.
But not that I would expect... I mean, would you expect somebody to do that, though?
I mean, I think that's a genuine thing. Like, how is your dad doing if you didn't know?
If you know he's not well, yeah.
No, no, no. I think...
You mean just in general? How's your family?
No. That was the top. I think. How's your family? How's your mom? How's your dad?
I'm asking you. No. You're saying people should be checking in on everything.
I think if she knew that her dad wasn't doing well, I mean, we don't really know what he died of, do we? No, Heather's dad?
I don't remember.
So, if she knew he wasn't doing well, she might not have known he was on his deathbed, and she might have just been like, is he doing better?
Yeah, exactly. I don't
like,
think,
I think it's a genuine question. I'm not, genuine text.
I think the way she said it, because she said, Heather was like, that wasn't an attack on you, Lisa. It was more of like, I understand how you feel, Meredith.
Yeah.
Because I think she was saying, like, she's grieving over the loss of her dad, and then somebody who knows her doesn't even know that it's happened. So maybe it just makes you feel unseen or alone or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it did kind of feel like it started off as like an attack against Lisa, but she's saying it's not. So I'm very confused by that. What do you think?
I don't know. I just think, I think Heather just probably just should have let that out. That's just like trying to assassinate her character and make her feel, be like, you don't care about our families.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so then basically Meredith is like, I needed you. You should have been my friend. I was hurting and I thought I loved you and like, that was wrong or whatever. And then Lisa's kind of like, I'm sorry. I was there. I was there. And Andy was like, Lisa, this isn't landing. And Lisa said, it is landing.
She's like, I am landed. I am landed. I know.
And she's like, I was there. So.
Yeah. Delusion.
The thing is, if your friend is telling you when my dad died, you weren't there for me, then you just say, sorry. I should have been
better. Which is
better.
What Whitney was getting at later.
Yeah.
I think. But I don't, the way she did that was very smug.
Because even like, if Lisa feels like she was there for her, just say, I was trying to be, but if I wasn't there for you as much as I should have been, that's my fault. Something like that.
Right.
So how someone feels, you can't deny that. You can't say, no, I wasn't.
I understand her. I understand Lisa's propensity to explain things because I think I do this sometimes.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not trying to not take ownership of something, but on the same time, at the same time, okay, wait, let me get my brain together because there's a bigger picture here. The way Lisa attempts to explain everything all the time, why she did something and her viewpoint is because the main thing going on in her brain is how she's feeling the need to explain it because her biggest concern is how she appears to these other people in this interactions in these situations. Therefore, you come across like these people are saying you don't care. You're not being genuine. You don't care about me because your number one concern is making sure that you come off as good as possible.
Yeah.
So just being, like she said, just be quiet and say, I'm sorry. What I said was wrong.
Right.
And just leave it there.
Yeah.
I think a little explaining is fine, though. Right?
I mean, of course, if you want to make a case for yourself, yes. And I don't think, yeah, what you were saying later on soon, Whitney basically says, Lisa, I think you should just, like, shut your mouth sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little oversimplified, but she's right. If Lisa were to just sit back and listen and then take ownership or say sorry, but not the way you do that is not by cutting everybody else off and saying that you are doing that.
Yeah.
So then Andy reads everything that Lisa says.
This was hilarious.
He reads it very slow and like somber.
And they also played this clip before, so we heard the whole thing again, and then he read it on the cue card.
They played it before on this episode?
I think so. I'm pretty sure, because I remember, I was like, why is he reading? We just listened to this.
I think it was last episode, but
still. It was also so much worse. Yeah. I thought the way the slow, kind of deadpan, line by line, I was like, oh, that's bad. It sounds so much worse.
If that was, like, written down on a piece of paper, it would be long.
Yes.
I
thought she was in the room with somebody too, and she said she was just talking to herself.
She was. There was a producer in there. When she opens the microphone door, she was in there. But there was somebody else in there, I mean. But I don't know.
She said she was just talking to herself.
But I think she just kind of means, like, she just walked in the room. The only other person that was in there was a producer, and she was like...
Gotcha. Also, the thing about this, too, is that I don't remember at any point of her saying she didn't believe... Like, I think she might have said she didn't mean it, but, like, she didn't say she didn't believe it. Like, she didn't say this was wrong.
Well, okay, first of all, Meredith is basically just like, it made me sick, it took me an hour to watch it, how do you think my kids are going to feel watching that? Mm-hmm. And that is a thing. I mean, if somebody said those things about you, I know you're not my kid, but...
It'd be hard.
If you watched those, yeah, you would hate that person forever, as a family member. And I think the same thing would be said about her kids. Mm. And if she's a family friend, that's hard.
And Meredith's all about her family.
Right. And this is when Andy said, do you think she's a whore and fucked half of New York? And Lisa was like, no, of course not. And then Whitney says that she's been telling people that. Oh, I forgot that. Yeah. Like before they even before started filming. Before the season started. Yeah. And she said, oh, she said Sarah Jane. Ooh. Which is the other girl that was there with Angie that
receipts.
Day.
Receipts.
So yeah, that doesn't come off as a good case. I mean, do you think she was implying that she's like slept with a lot of people, or do you think she said those exact words?
I think that she was probably implying that Meredith gets around. I don't know if she would have said like half of New York, but I think this Lisa, when she's mad at somebody, is the type of person. And I, you know, when a lot of times when people are this, like, when they say things that are this vicious when they're on rants and that loud, is a lot of times it's because that's how they talk to themselves in their head. So it just makes me think that Lisa's very hard on herself, and says mean things about herself, so that whenever she gets mad at somebody else, her tongue is very sharp already because she's been doing it to herself. Is my opinion. I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so, because to some people, that outburst was wild, you know, whereas I was like, well, you know, when I get mad at people, I think it's some fucked up shit. You know what I mean? I don't say it to them.
But it felt like she had them on lock, like ready to go.
Yeah, because she's probably been, well, and she's been angry at Meredith.
Yeah.
But she doesn't display her emotions. She doesn't talk. She wants to appear everything's fine.
Yeah.
She's not upset. She's not mad at Meredith. They're good. She's not hurt. She doesn't have, you know what I, so she doesn't, so she can't express these feelings. They're bottled up, and so she stews on it.
Yeah.
And then it finally all came out. Yeah. She was mad enough to just blah, 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 you know? So I'm sure she's been thinking it for a long time.
Yeah. Well, so she says that she's like, I can't say enough how sorry I am, blah, blah. And that she felt like the whole last year Meredith had been rejecting her, and that Meredith is allowed to be friends with everybody in the group, but she has, like, set parameters on who she can and can't be friends with because of Meredith, which I think is true.
Yeah, there was a little truth there.
Yeah. But then Heather...
And rejection is a strong emotion for people. Like,
yeah,
rejection makes people go a little wild.
Especially in your group, in a group like this on TV, kind of like a forced friendship, and you have one person in your corner, and then the whole season she's like rejecting your friendship, basically. Mm-hmm. I can see where that would make someone very mad and say things.
Yeah.
So Heather said, are you sorry you said it, or are you sorry you got caught? And she said she was sorry she said it. And Heather was like, no, I think you're sorry you got caught, because I think you've been saying stuff like this about all of us behind our back forever. And we're not crucifying you for this one moment of out, like a one random moment. We know you say this, but now we've seen it, exactly what it is when you were caught. And so we're crucifying you because it was finally revealed. And now we can say, okay, so she has been saying everything that we think she's saying about
everything that people, yeah, everything you've heard that she's been saying about you is true, because she does say the things that are this mean.
Yeah. But then Heather immediately was like, I was starting to feel bad for you, because I think Meredith really wasn't like standing up for you the whole season. And Heather said, you know, because I blindly stand up for Jen, even though she said mean things about me. And Jen was like, bitch, I will stop saying that I said those things.
She said, but it's true.
Yeah.
I mean, but, I think she's right.
Yeah, I agree. But I just, when I showed that flashback to Zion, I was like, oh. When Heather and Lisa were kind of becoming friends.
Yeah.
It made me sad to look back on.
Yeah, because that was a positive,
yeah,
nice moment. I think Heather explained herself very well. Because at first I was like, what? Okay. this comment about Meredith not being there for Lisa. But then she explained it as far as like how she, in comparing herself as a friend to Meredith as a friend, then Meredith hasn't shown up for Lisa the way Heather would if she were in Meredith's shoes. So yeah. I was like, that's a little more, I can, that's okay.
Yeah.
So.
So then Lisa kind of is starting to break down even more, and she's like, everyone wants to break me all the time. And Jen was kind of like, you don't have to be so strong. And Lisa said, I do!
Yeah, that was weird. I was like, okay, therapy time.
Yeah.
Like, you need therapy.
And then Whitney said the thing where she was basically like, stop talking and listen to people. And Andy asked where their friendship's going to go. And Lisa said, I'm very sorry. I hope we can work it out. And Meredith said she's devastated and needs to process it.
It's only been. She Two just days. Watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And whereas we've had weeks to ponder it.
It's also one of those things that, like, since this is months after it was filmed, I'm sure they've had a relationship from then on and like talked and stuff. And now to think like this person was harboring all this stuff and you had no idea for how long. It's like a weird thing to watch that unfold from months ago and then think about the whole months that happened in between there where you didn't know about it.
Yeah. I think she implied that she had texted Meredith and let her know
that I'm sure she didn't tell her everything.
Exactly. And I don't think,
and to the extent.
And the delivery, which she was really hung up on. I thought, actually, I think how mad Lisa was is kind of a defense of what she said. Because to me, sometimes when people are angry, they say things that they don't mean because they feel so bad. And so,
yeah,
I can believe you more if you say, I didn't mean those things, those aren't true, I was just really mad. I can take that. If somebody's, like, calm and just is saying all that stuff, then no, you believe that. You mean it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it would be hard to deny that. So I think the fact that she said it, she was, like, in such a rage, is, like, beneficial to her.
Yeah.
But what would you think if you were in Meredith's shoes and you just, like,
I think it would just
pick one of your good friends.
Yeah. I think it would end the friendship.
Yeah.
It's hard to see those things and be like, oh, that's how you really feel, and then just try to fix it.
Right.
Because they feel that way.
And you, wouldn't that always kind of be in the back of your head?
Yeah.
Like, this person's going to flip out again?
100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you think they will patch it up for the show? Or do you think, I don't know, Meredith's pretty...
I think they will, because I've seen them, like, filming, and they were on a bar... bus. What's that?
Party bus.
The little pedal bars.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what they're called.
And they were all like hugging and friends. This was like last week.
Okay.
Meredith and Lisa were having a good time in the photos. Okay. So, I mean, but also again, all this is for a show.
Yeah.
So I think yes, because they have to. But who knows? So then Andy kind of turns to Meredith and was like, what did you mean in the finale when you said you're going to talk about who someone slept with? No one wants to talk about. And Meredith was just kind of like, did exactly what I predicted she would do and ambiguously said, and didn't talk about it. And then basically they were all kind of saying that there's a ton of rumors out there and that people should just stop speculating about each other. And Andy was like, well, what you said sounded like a threat. And then she was like, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and they were trying to diminish the threat by saying we hear all kind of rumors by everybody all the time. Like, you can't really play that game because we could all just say the things that we hear. But yeah. Then Meredith was like, well, some rumors have more evidence than others.
Exactly.
And I was like, okay, homegirl's got some dirt.
Yeah. So then they like break so that Andy can go to the bathroom, and Lisa is like, can I talk to you? Can I talk to you? And Meredith's like, I don't know. We're like off camera. But we know from watching that they're never off camera during these reunions.
Mm-hmm.
And so then Lisa sits down and she was basically like, I'm so sorry that I hurt you and Seth and the kids. And she was just saying she was like triggered because she had heard that Meredith was saying things about her renovation in her house, that it was ugly.
This was a big backfire.
Yeah. And then Meredith gets up and storms off, and she's like, because I think you have a shitty house. That means you can destroy my entire reputation. Got it.
Yeah. Exactly. You sounded so fucking petty.
Yeah. But also the fact that she said, because I said you have a shitty house, which is a fun way to kind of read her and be like, yeah, I do. Her house looks nice from the show, though.
Yeah, but Meredith's is nicer, for sure.
But it's a rental.
Okay.
Her husband can't afford to have a house because he quits his job every 2 weeks. Just kidding.
You can't buy a home when you're fucking half of New York all the time.
Okay, so that's the end of the episode. Meredith walks away, and we see the next time on. The husbands are there, and it looks like Andy's gonna ask Seth what he feels about the Lisa stuff. Because, I mean, she did say basically, your wife fucked half of New York, and you can't keep a job.
Yeah, and that their family poses.
Poses. The worst of all.
Yeah, he talked about the kids.
Posing. That's just stupid. That's not an actual
She's just saying they're
reason
pretend
to
and
be
they're
mad.
fake. I don't know. The fact that you would even comment, like, no, your friends do not include. No. I agree. Even if the insult's not that bad, that's not friendly behavior.
Posing.
Because, Meredith can start talking about her kids.
Yeah.
And where's that gonna go?
So it looks like Andy also asks Sharif if they've had issues with infidelity in the past.
Ooh, child.
And he asks Jen, basically, like saying that Stu said that he did it, was guilty, and like that obviously doesn't look good for Jen. And then it looks like Lisa and Jen get into it and start fighting across Andy. And then he asks, do any of you think she's guilty? And Heather, it looks like the only reason I think maybe someone says yes is because Heather's reaction. She was like, oh no, like shaking her head in disbelief. And then it did show like Jen crying. But like I said, those could be just edited in from a different part of the show to look like it was
Exactly.
immediately right after.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's basically the episode.
Sorry.
Seems like you're done.
Had a long day. No, it was.
No, I'm just kidding.
It wasn't like a SmackDown brawl. I thought it was a good episode. It was very revealing.
Yeah.
I do think Meredith is on the rebound. I think she's doing a good job of regaining her status that she had before. Like, I think she's doing a good job of
Yeah.
explaining herself and what happened during the season and all that.
I would agree with that. I also think they kind of had to have an episode fully about Meredith and Lisa, and then the next episode is probably going to get into Jen because
Yeah.
that's why I want to watch the reunion.
I think Heather is doing I like that Heather is being aggressive on Lisa. She's not letting her skirt around things too often.
Yeah.
And we didn't talk about the cop. She did say maybe the Mormon church is a cult. And I was like, ooh,
Oh,
she stepped
yeah.
off and she's stepping out there. And which is, I'm fine with her saying that. I just mean like she's really embracing the
Right.
ex-Mormon
She's doing more than
life.
just being an ex-Mormon on TV. She's calling it a cult.
Yeah. Which, there is an ex-Mormon support group, so that says a lot too.
Yeah. But I think maybe, I don't know, kind of maybe in this season, she might have been trying to mend things with her family or something. And it
Yeah.
seems like maybe that just,
It's over.
yeah. So now she's just going to say whatever she feels, I think, which is good.
Yeah. Oh, I was gonna say, Whitney didn't do much this episode, but I do enjoy the dress she has on, and that long glove is everything for
Yeah,
me.
she looks so good, and her makeup looks so good in this
I'm
episode.
still mad that Ginny didn't answer the one question she really should got. She avoided it like the plague.
Yeah.
And I'm just ready for Elisa to just give up on the control. Like, let it go. Just be
Well,
yourself and don't worry about it.
I wonder what her and Jen are going to fight about next week.
Yeah. Who knows?
Also, I meant to mention this up top, but Jen's trial date got moved again to July.
Oh,
So
right.
we were thinking maybe once this is over, the trial was literally going to start the week that this season is over. And then we were thinking maybe we'd do like a trial update kind of a thing on the pod, but it is not happening until July. But I'm guarantee you, even though filming will have wrapped, they will send cameras to that court.
Uh-huh. I think I'm actually surprised and kind of pleased a little bit that her legal issues haven't dominated the whole reunion.
Like Erica?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if on Beverly Hills, like, there was definitely one episode that was mostly Erica's legal stuff. So it wasn't, I think
it was like two of the four.
It was a lot, yeah. And so I guess that's why I'm like, I'm glad it's not, like, she's not, the most of the reunion hasn't been about her, which, of course, the first one was largely just about her. Yeah. So, it was, you know, and then I didn't want it to be all bunch of, like, speculation about stuff that they can't answer anyways. So,
yeah,
really no resolution until the trial.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm glad it's not been a big Jinshaw fest.
Yeah, I also feel like you can kind of tell that she's taking a backseat a little bit.
Yeah.
Probably because she was prepped by her lawyers on what to do and what to...
Right, don't put yourself in a spot where somebody's going to make a comment or say something.
Exactly. Well, did you have anything else you wanted to talk about?
Nar.
All right, well, if you liked this episode, please share it with your Real Housewives of Salt Lake City friends, viewing friends, and definitely subscribe and give us a review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you listen. If you want to talk about this episode with us or any of the episodes, you can go to reason.fm and type in Privileged Twinks, and we have a whole page there where you can subscribe. It'll tell you when new episodes are out, and also it has a place where you can comment, so you can talk to us about the episodes, maybe what you want to see in the future, as we only have one episode of the main season left. And yeah, this has been Privileged Twinks.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Travis.
And bye.
Say goodbye.